Stand with me. Let's stand up. Because we're here to receive, right? We're here to receive what God has to say to us today. So, Jesus, we want to hear your voice today. Holy Spirit, we invite you to minister so much more. And we want to thank you already for what you've been doing in this place. But you have more for us. We don't want to just pass it by like kids looking at vegetables. We want to eat it. We want to receive it. We want to have it. And we want our lives to be changed with it, Lord. So we want to invite you to do whatever you want here through this word, through Tegan. We pray that you'll give her confidence. Amen.
Thank you. All right. So there is a story about a Christian lady called Corrie ten Boom. And now this lady is an amazing woman. And if you don't know her, I highly recommend looking her up after church. So in World War II, she helped hide Jewish people. But eventually she got caught and was sent to a concentration camp called Ravensbrück. She survived the concentration camp and toured around the world talking about God's forgiveness. Corrie herself was put to the test in 1947 while speaking at a Munich church. At the close of the service, a balding man in a grey overcoat stepped forward to greet her. Corrie froze. She knew this man well. He'd been one of the most vicious guards at Ravensbrück. The guard put out his hand towards Corrie to shake her hand while saying, "A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea." Corrie, who had just talked about forgiveness, fumbled with her pocketbook rather than shake his hand. She knew that he would not remember her because there were thousands of women in this concentration camp at that time. But she remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. She was face to face with one of her captors, and she described that her blood seemed to freeze. "You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk," he was saying. "I was guard there. But since that time," he went on, "I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fräulein," again his hand came out, "will you forgive me?" Corrie stood there and thought, "I, whose sins had again and again to be forgiven and could not forgive." The soldier stood there expectantly, waiting for Corrie to shake his hand. She wrestled with the most difficult thing she had ever had to do, and she knew she had to do it. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who injure us. Standing there before the former SS man, Corrie remembered that forgiveness is not an act of the will, is an act of the will, not an emotion. "Jesus, help me," she prayed. "I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling." Corrie thrust out her hand, and as she did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in her shoulder, raced down her arm, and sprang into the joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood her whole being, bringing tears to her eyes. "I forgive you, brother," she cried, "with all my heart." For a long moment, they grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. She had never known God's love so intensely as she did then. But even so, she realized it was not her love. She had tried and did not have the power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. I wonder how this ex-concentration camp guard felt coming up to ask forgiveness for the horrible things that he did in that place. If I was him, I would be expecting probably a slap across the face and probably insults from her. But also, who would forgive someone like that? I also wonder how he felt after Corrie said that she forgave him. Would he felt like a whole lot of weight had been lifted off him? Would he have been confused? Or was he overwhelmed with hearing her say, "I forgive you"? Well, the passage that I'm looking at today is from Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32, which looks at the parable of the prodigal son. So this story looks at a father and two sons and gives us a brief insight to what the guard may have felt. The father and the two sons in the parable had everything. A great house with everything they needed. But it wasn't enough for the younger son. So he did the unthinkable. He went up to his father and asked for his inheritance, which was basically saying he wished that his father was dead, because that's the only time you really get an inheritance. In those days, that was disgraceful. I'm pretty sure it'd be disgraceful today too. And the father had every right to say no and disown him as his son. But you know what? The father let his younger son have his share of his inheritance and let the son go out on his own. The son takes his share of the inheritance and wastes it all. He ends up getting a job working with pigs, which is the lowest job you could ever have in the Jewish culture, because pigs are classed as unclean in their culture. This is when the son realized he messed up. This leads into my first point, which is sometimes we realize that we mess up and we want to put our heads in the sand and keep going and just ignore what happened. I know that I do that a lot. I do this many times. I'm trying to not, but you know, that happens. Like when you're wrong, but instead of saying, oh, sorry, I was wrong, you were right, you keep arguing because, well, you're in too deep and you can't change now. I think instead of owning up to our mistakes, we become prideful, and that can make our mistakes worse. And guess what? We make mistakes. We are human, and we are not perfect. I also want to look at Scott Morrison. Like, he's our prime minister. He's human. He can't fix everything. He's not capable of doing that. He's not God. He's a human. So we need to forgive him. A couple of years ago, I had to acknowledge how I treated my brother growing up. So I have a younger brother. His name's Nathan. We are 15 months apart. And as we grew up, I know I wasn't the greatest sister to him at all. We had lots of fights, as siblings do. But I distinctly remember Nathan yelling at me one day, saying that he hates me. I can't remember what I did, but I know it must have been something horrible. When those words left his mouth, it hurt. And I tried covering it up with, you don't mean that, you have to love me. Anyway, fast forward to 2018, while I was a student at the school, God placed on my heart to apologize to him for all the pain that I put him through. And so I did through a text, because he has crazy hours at work. At first, his reply was, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I let him know that it was God that placed on my heart to apologize to him for the things that I did to him. I know now that my brother and I have a better relationship with each other than what we did when we were kids. And I'm glad that I owned up to my mistakes. I'm glad that the past hurts have been forgiven, because we wouldn't have a better relationship without it. The younger son realized that he made a mistake, and instead of being prideful and continuing to suffer for his mistakes, he decides to go back to his father and apologize. He was going to beg to be a servant for his father, because he disgraced his father. He didn't want to be his son. He was happy to just go and serve. But how do you think he felt when he decided to head home? Maybe he felt embarrassed, or perhaps he felt anxious about his father, how his father would react. The father would have every right to tell his son to get lost and never come back. He turns for home, not knowing what was going to happen. His only hope in his heart was that his father might give him some work. Verse 20 says, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. This is my second point. When we mess up, God is there waiting for us with grace. Can you imagine how the son felt seeing his dignified father tying up his robe, tearing down the street toward him? He probably was confused about what was happening or expecting his father running up with him with a punishment in mind. That would also be a normal human reaction, to want to punish someone who has hurt you. I know I've felt this as well. To see them hurt the way that they hurt you. But the father did the opposite of what I would do, and embraced his son and kissed him. God is like this. When we mess up and turn back to God, he's not waiting for us to grovel and then maybe forgive us. He offers forgiveness before we ask, but we need to ask him for it. God is waiting for us with arms open wide because he loves us. He doesn't care about what we have done. He cares about us. And you know what? It is hard to ask for forgiveness and to own up for our mistakes. Because when we do, we are showing some vulnerability because to the other person. But God shows us grace in those moments because he wants us to have a deeper relationship with him. The son that was disgraceful and horrible to his family was given everything because of the father's love. Love and grace for his son. And that's us. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. For all of us, that looks different in the ways that we have strayed." I really liked what Nate said earlier with the phone. Like, we get distracted by that and we can stray with that. Like, we can put having relationship with God and use our phones instead. But the thing is that once we realize we are starting to go off God's path, we have the opportunity to head back to God. God is going to be there every time we head back home to him with open arms because he loves us. He gave us Jesus to show us that. This leads to my final point. The Father forgives us and celebrates over us. I'd like to invite the band up. Not only also celebrated his son coming back home. Verse 22 to 24 says, "But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Like the youngest son in the story, the guard from the concentration camp was welcomed into God's family. God celebrated when the guard decided to give his life to Jesus. God also celebrates over us when we come home and give our lives to him. During World War II, the German guard was far from God and far from his heavenly home. But when he decided to give his life to Jesus and receive God's forgiveness, he was welcomed home into God's family. Maybe today you realize that you are far from the Father and acknowledge that you have been heading in the wrong direction. Right now, you can come home and receive the Father's forgiveness and feel his joy as he welcomes and celebrates over you. We have places up the front where you can pray and talk with God. Or you can invite people with you to pray for you. You can also pray at your seats because God just wants to hear your voice. He wants to talk to you.